Hi, Jim Hoffman here from EMS Office Hours. I want to thank you for taking a quick 20, 30 minutes or so to join me and talk about some EMS topics and what might be concerning you as an EMS provider from feedback that I've gotten through email or through my blog. Before we get started today, I want to go ahead and mention a couple of things. The main thing, of course, is the EMS Bootcamp project. And just to remind you that coming 2011, I've trying to get a lot of great topics lined up for you to take part in and join me on these live webinars. Right now, you can get a lot of the webinars that are pre-recorded from the past in our archive session, and we have a lot of topics there, everything from pretty much exam taking and cardiac assessment to pediatrics and even EMS research. So check that out at emsbootcamp.com. And of course, if you are an instructor or you know of an instructor who might be interested in doing one of these live webinars, be sure to put them in contact with me, and we'll see if we can go ahead and get a topic that might be interesting to the EMS community and go ahead and get a webinar developed for them to go ahead and present online. So my email, of course, is jhoffman@ems-safety.com, and I'd love to go ahead and get as many instructors as possible, and I'm trying to get as many topics as possible, even lined up months in advance, so that we can get as many people on board and many attendees in these live events as possible. So go check that out, emsbootcamp.com. Get some more information on presenting, and also check out those archive sessions. Now, of course, I've been trying to kind of put in here each week a product or maybe a web resource that I think you would find interesting as an EMS provider. And this week, it's kind of combined. And I don't know if you've ever heard of Jamie Davis, who is the pod medic, and he has a website at medicast.com. And Jamie does a podcast as well. He's got a little TV show there also that he does, and all revolving around the EMS community, the industry, products, services, the future of EMS, and changes that are coming on board and changes that are affecting the EMS industry. So really great website. A lot of it's audio, some of it's video. He's also got written articles there as well. A very, very well worth time and effort to go to that website and check out all he's got there, all free to go check all that out. Of course, you can also subscribe to his podcast, just like with this one on iTunes as well, and you can find Jamie's podcast as well, as well as, of course, EMS Office Hours over at the ProMed Network. .com as well, and a lot of other great medical podcasts there also. But right now, try to go over to medicast.com and check out what Jamie's got going on there. Now, as far as product goes, Jamie's got a couple of products on his site. He's got his membership resource that he has on there, which is called the Medicast Extra, which is a great resource, especially if you're taking National Registry exam or you're going to be thinking about taking National Registry exam. A lot of great content there to help you pass that test. But in addition to that, Jamie's got the National Registry Survivor Series, which are audio files that Jamie's created, where he goes over each individual's skill, BLS and ALS, and goes over each individual skill and really breaks down not just the skill step by step, but also puts in a lot of little tidbits and little tips and nuances to help you pass each station, what to expect, what's a critical fail, not a critical fail, or things that you can actually know and understand to kind of get a leg up and get a little bit of better understanding on what to expect with taking a National Registry. Actually, I teamed up with Jamie on the NREMT audio video showcase CDs that I have on my site. And I use those audios with Jamie and actually put them to a video of the skill sheets that you can actually follow along, see some pop-ups and some pointers that are given throughout that skill sheet as well. And those products have the videos along with the audio downloads also. All the links for all that stuff is going to be below the podcast. You can check all that out at your convenience, at your leisure. But go check that stuff out. But if you're not interested in let's say, getting the video, and audio combined, like with my audio video showcase products, go ahead and check out Jamie's site in his store. He's actually got CDs that contain just the audio. So if that's what you're really looking for and that's what you think you're really going to need to help you pass the National Registry, great product to go to. Go check that out. Again, it's Medicast.com. I'm going to put all that stuff in the show notes so that you can go ahead and, again, check those links out at your leisure and, you know, get the most out of those that content he's got there. He's got some other stuff there, too, just to, FYI, things like medical mathematics. He's got something there on shock. So great products there, you know, and well worth resource to go check out. So, again, Medicast.com. All right, now, today, not too long of a podcast today. I know it's Christmas coming up. We only got a few days left before Christmas gets here. But I just want to go over realities in EMS. You know, I just want to touch on a couple. And there's a plethora of realities that we can go through and pretty make this podcast should probably last hours upon hours. But I just kind of picked a few, three actually, that I think are you know, kind of important to mention, and I might do some more down the road, but just today, I just want to kind of as a reminder that, you know, a lot of times what we see, we write, read, or hear online, offline, talking to our peers and partners in the ambulances, talking to ER docs and things like that, they're all really, really great ways to get our thoughts going, you know, get those door processes happening, kind of provoke change and, you know, really to get the juices flowing to kind of, you know, make changes we want to make in EMS. But still, you know, there are some realities in EMS that we have to face in the meantime, right, before we can actually make these changes, before these changes become a reality, so that we can keep our jobs, we can keep, you know, not getting in hot water with our medical directors or with our ALS coordinators or with our managers. So there are some realities that we have to face in the meantime, despite what we might want to do, despite what we might feel, or what we might, you know, be driven to do. So I pick three that come to mind offhand, and the first one is protocols. Now, you know, you shouldn't be a cookbook medic and follow, you know, guidelines, you know, soup to nuts every time you get a patient. You have to use clinical judgment. You've got to do a proper patient assessment. Try to do what's right for each individual patient, not try to fit every patient into a protocol and then follow that protocol. But unfortunately, you know, we do have to follow them to a point. With a lot of the research out there nowadays that's showing, you know, that certain drugs like Lasix or epinephrine might not be doing what might be in the best interest for the patient, you know, long term or even short term, we still have to, you know, we still have these treatments in our standing order protocols. So while the guidelines sometimes will differ from state to state or even like region to region, there always seems to be some treatments that continue that, you know, get kind of clung to, you know, for patient care guidelines, or even kind of to make us feel like we're doing something for the patient, even if the treatment isn't the best thing for the patient, but it's just something that's there, whether it does something for them or does nothing for them, you know, there's no proof that it does anything for them, you know, it's still kind of in there. We still have to follow those guidelines. You know, but the thing is, if you're engaged in EMS and you're engaged in the treatment that you give to your patient, you know, you might have read on blogs, you know, things like roguemedic.com, that many of the treatments that we're expected to give patients might not have any real impact on patient care and may even do harm to our patients, whether it's short-term or long-term. You know, maybe something like our limits on pain control for patients, or maybe even continued use of drugs like Lasix that can maybe do long-term damage to patients or even increase hospital stays, length of hospital stays, or even mortality rates, or even drugs like lidocaine that, you know, has kind of been a staple in those VFib, pulseless VTAC protocols. But, you know, we keep using, you know, it doesn't show any real benefit or long-term survival for return of spontaneous circulation patients, but we keep it in a lot of protocols. A lot of people have been taking it out, but it's still out there. A lot of protocols still have it in there, and, you know, why that is when it doesn't really show anything, over something even as simple as good CPR and early defibrillation. So a reality, though, for us as field providers is that we still have to follow the protocols dictated to us within our region. You know, if we don't follow the protocols, then we can wind up getting into trouble by our ALS coordinators or our medical directors for not treating patients according to the guidelines that are set up for a particular presentation, especially something clear-cut like cardiac arrest or something like that. So, you know, unfortunately, we just can't document on a patient call report that we didn't give X drug because we've been following proven research or because of more recent treatment modalities being given other states or emergency departments or even in hospital environments. We just can't do that. We have to, you know, pretty much document and treat patients according to the guidelines that are set forth for us. Now, what we can do is show our medical directors and our medical, you know, advisories that we are engaged in the pre-hospital care that we're giving and that there is better treatment and even drugs or even non-drug treatment for our patients that will benefit them long after their contact with EMS. You know, if medical directors are also engaged in the changes that are based on this research, you know, then they should also really be eager to change these outdated and potentially even harmful protocols that really benefit no one but what is perceived even as just getting the proper documentation based on some guidelines that's been going on for years and years that nobody really wants to change, and they want to kind of just stick to it because it's just allowing us to do something for a patient. So, you know, while the reality of following protocols, you know, it's always present in our day-to-day duties, I think the goal really should be to try to follow current treatment modalities and medication administration and patient transport decisions based on solid research that is understood by, you know, us as EMS providers and our medical directors. So, you know, again, it's not, you can't just follow every protocol as a cookie cutter type thing and try to fit every patient into it. But if you get these patients that are in the clear cut type of a presentation and you don't follow the protocol, you go outside the protocol, withhold something, you're going to have to really back that up in your documentation and be prepared to back that up with your ALS coordinator and your medical director. So just be prepared for that if you do decide to challenge protocols based on that research and not follow things, you know, step by step from what they have. Of course, you don't want to do harm to your patient, but at the same time, you don't want to go ahead and lose your job by not following, you know, proper procedures and proper protocols. And unfortunately, right now, that is a reality of EMS that we have to kind of do. The second thing I want to mention is things like inside and outside voices. Now, if you've been in EMS for a while, or maybe even not all that long, okay, you might start getting frustrated with the things like EMS system abuses, or, you know, those not so emergency calls and the drama that a lot of patients can actually display in an effort just to get attention or maybe just get that, you know, get a ride to the hospital. You know, some EMS bloggers out there, even myself included, at times might post these frustrations and what they may have been thinking during a particular call that was just plain BLS but without the L, so BS, right? Well, actually, just read a post at a website called A Day in the Life of an Ambulance Driver, and he talked about how, you know, everyone has a diagnosis. I'm pretty sure that's the title of his blog post there. And, you know, the blog was actually commenting on his frustration on a certain call that he had. And if you go ahead and visit that post, of course, the links will be, you know, on the bottom here. But if you visit that post, you're also going to see a lot of people calling for him to retire or saying that they hope that he never treats them or their family members, and pretty much kind of taking what I think is an unrealistic view of dealing with calls that, while may have a real or even perceived legitimate diagnosis, like in this blog post mentioned, can actually be seen by a lot of EMS providers as not really needing a 911 response or even an ambulance transport for that matter. So, you know, while I'm reading the post, it seems that it was written after a long day for this blogger, and he points out that his demeanor was professional on the scene and that his comments on the blog were just that. They were comments on a blog, allowing him to pretty much vent and show a lot of other providers who kind of can sympathize, right? You know, a lot of us can actually feel what he's going through and, you know what he's dealing with on those types of assignments. You know, he points out that he's not perfect and that he doesn't always expect everyone to agree with what he's writing on, you know, the blog. You know, for a lot of EMS providers, we do have that inside voice that screams, this isn't an emergency, or, you know, you've had this pain for how many years and you're calling 911 now? You know, and I'm sure a lot of other professions have similar inside voices, including doctors and nurses. You know, think about the doctor that deals with that chronic patient that visits the doctor's office over and over again for a wide range of vague complaints that the doctor just can't pinpoint on. They're just going there for some type of attention or some type of way to get, you know, a diagnosis of some type. Now, this doesn't mean that we're going to be mistreating our patients, or it doesn't mean that we're not acting as the professionals that we are, that we should be. But, you know, everybody has days that may be more frustrating than others. But as professionals, we're going to perform complete patient assessments. We're going to treat the patients appropriately, even if that treatment ends up being just giving them a ride to the hospital. You know, the inside voice really is just the reality of EMS, and actually probably just about many, many other professions that are out there. I think the key is to keep it inside, right? Use it as a coping tool, not allowing it to mix with the outside voice. You know, of course, if it does start to happen, if you do start, you know, mingling the inside and outside voice together, and your patients are seeing your frustration, you're taking out frustrations on patients, if that starts to happen, then maybe it is time to retire, and it is time to look for something else to do with your time and as a profession. So this kind of leads me into the final point tonight, my final reality point, you know, for today, and that is people call 911 for them. So what I mean here is that when people call 911 and request an ambulance, it's for their emergency. It's not your emergency, or it's not your perception of what an emergency is. Now, while it may not make it right that they call 911, or they call for an obvious non-emergent reason, or that they are clearly aware that they're knowingly abusing the system, you know, you as an EMS professional have to be just that, a professional. The reality, though, in this, you know, in this right here, is not really the abuse or the non-emergent calls that I want to kind of point out. You know, those are kind of separate issues, separate realities that we as an industry really need to deal with on a separate basis, and whether that's going to be through something like community paramedicine or on-scene triage or something like the HOPE program going on in San Diego, or even actual ambulance necessity issues when trying to, you know, having patients be responsible for the costs associated with non-emergent calls if their insurance companies won't pay because it is an obviously non-emergent call, non-ambulance related call. The reality here that I'm trying to just point out is that these types of calls are really just part of the job. It's unfortunate, but it is part of the job. The reality being that a majority of the calls that we do are really not the life and death calls that we may have thought we would be doing when we entered the field as EMTs or as paramedics. And really, we probably by now, if you've been doing it again for any length of time, you've pretty much accepted this fact as provider, you know, and you know that sometimes a non-emergent call may just need that understanding ear to listen to them, or maybe just a gentle ride to the hospital, and that's all we can really do for that patient, and that's all that, you know, is needed. And that's what sometimes, you know, you'll have entire days, maybe even weeks, where that's all you're getting to do. And this is the reality of the job. This is the reality of the job that we're doing. You know, my personal opinion, when you get calls like that, you know, that's a great opportunity to really fine-tune your patient assessment, fine-tune your vital signs, fine-tune your patient interview skills, so that when you have the calls that are critical, you have the more emergent calls, you really got it down to a science, and you know, you won't be as rattled or as stressed out dealing with those types of calls because you've already, you know, got your format in place. So, you know, most of us know that this type of situation and the other reality points that I mentioned during this podcast, you know, they're just not going to change anytime soon. And that's another reality, I guess, right? But while some EMS systems really are taking measures to try and reduce these calls and lessen the strain on a busy 911 call volumes or busy emergency departments or an overworked providers, or maybe they're working on improving or updating protocols and treatment methods to kind of get in line with current trends and current research, you know, that's all going on. That's great, trying to change that reality. But, you know, some of us also, we're trying to make changes to better EMS using maybe small changes, you know, things like social media or things like getting involved with projects like EMS 2.0 or the Chronicles of EMS, you know, all trying to help spread the word about the future and the goals of what we want EMS to be and actually to make it our reality. So, just about out of time. I don't want to go on too much with this to another point, but I do want to thank you, of course, for joining me in this busy week, this busy holiday week here at EMS Office Hours. Remember, as always, I say this every week, you know, I'm here and I'm trying to be dedicated as much as I can to you, the EMS professional, and I want to talk about what you are thinking regarding the EMS industry. So please be sure to comment on the show on the blog below. Send me your ideas direct if you want to. You want to keep it private, I have no problem with that. Send it to jhoffman@ems-safety.com. Let me know your industry concerns. Let me know any testing questions that you might have. Or even, again, let's talk about a call you had recently that you thought was interesting. I'll be sure to go ahead and fit it into an upcoming episode and try to share your thoughts with the EMS community. Guys, have a merry, merry Christmas. I'll see you next week. I'll be in another podcast next week before New Year's, so I'll check in with you before New Year's comes rolling around. But please, have a safe, happy holidays for you and your family. This is Jim Hoffman from EMS Office Hours. As always, stay safe.